Yeah? It starts in the Garden of Eden, doesn't it, with a promise given to Eve. And then it's God and Noah. And then God calls Abraham and gives him faith. And over the course of many, 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 many centuries, God finally sends an angel to a girl in Nazareth, engaged to a man called Joseph. And we know how that turns out. It's my OCD thing here. I'd feel off balance otherwise. After the birth of Jesus, another thing happens while they're still in Bethlehem. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. But this is not the normal view for this story. It's not told in the normal way. It's a story loosely based on that of the wise men who go to see Jesus. But this morning we're going to look at the story from the perspective of the camels. The camel-eyed view. It's a lost sheep story, and it's called The Three Wise Camels. If you can't get your head around the Bible narrative, you can get your head around this story, I'm sure. Legend has it, that this ancient story was translated from even earlier camel oral tradition, sometime in the Dark Ages. Somehow it was translated into English, and a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy ended up in our author's letterbox. And so we have this story. I do have some doubts about the truthfulness of that legend. Now, this is very important. As we tell this story, I want you, I was going to say just children, but I want adults too, just to think about ways in which the camels are wise. Ways in which they're wise. Because wisdom is terribly important nowadays, isn't it? We need to be wise as we live in our world today. So as we read this book, let's see how wise these camels are. For those of you who have been here before and seen us work through a lost sheep book will know that I will interrupt the story from time to time to bring you important information about what we're reading and how it connects with the scriptures. So I also do that because it stops the adults from getting restless and bored. Yeah. So let's pray and then we're going to get into the story. Yeah. Father God, we want to thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. Thank you today we're able to celebrate, Father, the coming of your Son. And thank you, Father, that's not a once for all time thing, Father. It's something we can give thanks to every day. And so, Father, we want to ask, Lord, that you would prepare our hearts, that our hearts would have room for Jesus today, this morning. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. 2,000 years ago, there were three wise men who get a big write-up in the Bible. Come very, very famous, appearing in numerous nativity plays and on every second Christmas card. We find their story in Matthew chapter 2, and we will also note there are some Christmas songs about them as well. What is often overlooked is that these three wise men rode three wise camels. In the interest of equal rights for camels, here is their story. This story is not in the Bible, though. So do not ask mum or dad or cousins or sisters or aunties or pastors to find it for you. The three wise camels are very wise. They invent very many wise sayings, including a stitch in time saves nine, and let sleeping dogs lie. They were also into astronomy. Now, astronomy is the science of studying everything that exists outside of our atmosphere. So it includes planets and galaxies, comets and asteroids and aliens, and of course, the stars. One night, the three camels spotted a star in the east. This could only mean one thing. A king had been born, and this was no run-of-the-mill king. I wonder how they knew. How did they know this was no run-of-the-mill king? Like King Charles. He's just a run-of-the-mill king. Well, because they were really smart and they studied the stars and they read a lot. They knew that if something in the sky appeared, especially if it had been foretold hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before, then a new very special king had been born. I'm not really sure how they knew that. But way back then, long time ago, people studied the night sky to get an idea about what was happening. In this case, people think that all the planets sort of aligned in the sky, that this star appeared. But I don't know. But what I do know is that Daniel, the guy in the Bible, the book's named about him, if we'd done the Old Testament books of the Bible, we would have known where that came from. That would have been fun. Maybe, is that next year? Next year we'll do the Old Testament books of the Bible. Yeah. So, Jake, time to start now. Memorize them. Yeah. Daniel, the Bible, a book written about, has his name, and written about him, and 500 years before Jesus, he has a visit from an angel. The same angel who goes and visits Mary. But that's another story. Yeah. So he has a visit from an angel. And the angel tells him in sort of a riddly sort of way when these things are going to start happening. So they have this understanding of the time when to look. And then in Psalm 19, 1 and 2, God tells us the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. So it's not altogether surprising that the wise men and their wise camels might have seen this new happening in the sky as a new king being born. And so what do wise camels and wise people do when they find exciting and new information? So the camels, wise camels, pack their bags and set off this king. To highlight the roles of these wise camels, the illustrator has neglected to show that the camels took their riders with them. The reason why the camels needed to take their riders with them will become clear very soon. They didn't get very far before Kevin realised he'd forgotten the frankincense. What on earth is frankincense? What on earth is frankincense? Is it smelly stuff made of Frank's socks? I don't know. No? Definitely no. It's not that. Frankincense is made from a resin from a certain tree. It was used as a part of the incense burned in the worship of God. And the recipe for that incense could only be used in the worship of God. It could not be used in any other place. So it's special. For reasons very much unknown, we do not know the names of the other two camels. I think it could be Kate and Kamal. Yeah, but there are some who might say, why are some people so unkind? But back to the camel's journey. It was a tough journey across raging rivers, up steep cliffs, through war zone. There's always wars there, through the war zone. And they had to go through customs. Finally, the three wise camels reached Jerusalem and met a king called Herod. King Herod did not take the idea of someone else being the king. This is a good time to see what the Bible says about this. Matthew writes in chapter 2 of his gospel this about what we heard from the camels. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. This, I think, is why the camels brought some wise men with them. For they knew that Herod the king could not speak or understand camel speech. The wise men, I think, did. And so it made sense for the wise men to do the talking and the camels to do the listening. You will have noted the Bible does not mention Kevin or the missing frankincense. I think they wanted to save Kevin the embarrassment of being the only camel named and the one who forgot the gifts. So, back to the story. So the three wise camels snuck out the back door and followed the star to Bethlehem, where they found the king. The three wise men worshipped the king and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What this picture shows is Jesus as a baby, but he might have been a bit older, we're not quite sure. But that's not the important thing. What's the important thing is that they worship Jesus because they knew he was the king, not just any old king. They'd just met any old run-of-the-mill king, hadn't they? He was called Herod. They didn't bring him any gifts at all. They didn't even think to worship him. He was just a run-of-the-mill, ordinary king. And those gifts, along with Kevin's frankincense, were myrrh and gold. Well, we know all about gold. We know what gold is, but what on earth is myrrh? Does it belong in a Christmas song? Like, "We wish you a Merry Christmas"? Maybe. I don't know. Like frankincense, myrrh is something used in incense or a perfume. It comes from a special tree. I'm not sure what that tree is called. It's not a myrrh tree. And the people who from the tree are not mermaids either, in case you ask, because I know that's going through your head. That is what you're thinking. It's really interesting because when Jesus died, and today in our service today, we've had some connection, haven't we, between Jesus' birth and his death, in the songs we've sung, even in the video at the start, Peter was telling us that Jesus was crucified. Yeah? So Jesus dies, and this guy called Nicodemus, he's this a religious dude, really smart, high up in Jerusalem. He brings myrrh and some other spices to prepare Jesus' body for burial. Yeah? So myrrh's got this really incredible part to play in the role of Jesus. So the wise camels, remember it's about the camels, the wise camels bring three gifts to the great king at his coming. Gold, a gift fit for a king. Frankincense, something fit for a priest. A myrrh, something fit for one who will give their life for others, a ransom, fit for a saviour. And after meeting this great king, this is what the wisest of wise camels do. And then with jumps of joy, leaps of happiness, and pirouettes of praise, the three wise camels ran all the way home. I wonder who they jumps of joy for, or leapt leaps of happiness for, or pirouetted pirouettes of praise for. I wonder. Surely they behave in these extraordinary ways because they are worshipping Jesus. I do love how these acts of worship are like no one else can see them. Yeah? No one else cared about what they were doing. They're behaving like this. I can be pretty sure that there was no boppy music around in order to stir up their so they would do this. And I do wonder if sometimes we care a little bit too much about what others think when we worship. Or we rely a little bit too much on worship, on music to stir our hearts. Maybe this is why adults don't clap or raise their hands very much in this church. Or maybe that's why children don't dance very much in this church. Maybe we forget that it's really the one who we worship that matters, not all that other stuff. Our wives, camels, understand that. Now, this may be how the camels remember the event, but what happened to the wise men who accompanied them is recorded for us in Matthew 2, 9 to 11. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their home country by another way. Well, how were the three camels wise? Anybody got any ideas about how the three camels were wise? What made them wise camels? What was that? Yeah. What? Okay. So, there's a loud voice because I'm half deaf. So I have to sit at the front at church. Why were the camels wise? You think they did that was wise? Let me help you. I've got six things, is that all right? But I haven't got a PowerPoint, so I'm sorry, I don't know how you're going to manage, but I've got six things, but no PowerPoint. They were wise because they were smart camels. They used their brains and the skills of others to recognise that a new king, who was not any run-of-the-mill sort of king, but a real kingly king, had been born. They knew where to look and they knew when to look because of what others before them had said. So they're wise because they've relied on God's word to show them what to do and when to do it. Secondly, they were camels of action. They were wise because they believed what the signs meant and then they packed their bags and they went. Yeah, they're wise because they're people, they're camels of action. We can be wise by being people of action who not only hear the word, but do the word, practice the word. They were wise because they were camels who persevered. Can you remember? Not river, not cliffs, yeah, not war, not customs could stop them. Might slow them down a little bit, but they could not stop them doing what they knew they needed to do. They needed to find the king. They were careful camels. They didn't get caught in the trap of Herod, that ordinary, everyday, run-of-the-mill king, the trap that he had set for them. Remember how the wise men were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod? To tell him about Jesus? Their careful obedience was wisdom. Fifthly, they are generous camels. They brought gifts with them so they would be properly prepared when they saw the kingly king. Remember, they didn't give anything to the ordinary everyday king. Herod, didn't give anything to him. The gifts they bought reflected something of what the kingly king would be. And finally, they were worshipping camels. They recognized the kingly king because all the signs pointed to him. They gladly worshipped him because they recognized that he was a king sent from God. They humbled themselves before this child, even though he had no throne, no crown, and no people. And they continued to worship when they left, all their way home. They were not proud in their own eyes. They knew they needed this kingly King Jesus to save them. And I think these things make these camels very wise. Maybe I need to be a little bit more like these camels. This story talks about coming to Jesus, and is written from the view of the camels. The thing is, the camels and the wise men have the same heart attitude at Christmas. The same heart for them both. I think that's what makes them wise. But not everybody who comes to Christmas has a heart like that. The camels and the wise men come to see this out of the ordinary, not run-of-the-mill king, and they give him gifts. They give him gold, a gift fit for a king. Frankincense, a gift fit for a priest. They give him myrrh, a gift suitable for a redeemer who would give his life as a ransom to all those held in bondage to sin. They come to this child with a clear vision of who he was, and they gave him gifts accordingly. It was a part of their worship. They didn't come empty-handed. Jesus tells a story about a wedding feast and everybody being invited. But there's one person who doesn't come dressed in their wedding clothes, and he's expelled. They come prepared. They come prepared to worship this king, this not ordinary run-of-the-mill king, this kingly king, this king of kings. They're prepared. It's a generous heart that they come with. But it's a heart also that needs things. They come with a heart that needs things. It's a heart that needs a king, someone to reign over them with wisdom and righteousness. Do we come at Christmas needing a king to reign over us in righteousness and wisdom? It needed a priest, someone to intercede for them, to bring them to God the Father. Do we come at Christmas needing a priest, one to intercede for us, to bring us to God? It was a heart that needed a redeemer, someone who would pay the debt for their sin, a saviour to set them free from the wages of sin, an eternal death, a forever death. Do we come at Christmas needing a redeemer, someone to do that for us? What about us? When we come to Jesus at Christmas, what do you come to see? Is it just a cute baby wrapped in cloths in a manger? Is it just any old run-of-the-mill king you come? What does your heart say it needs? Does it need more presents? I don't think so. This Christmas, about what you need. Talk to those in your family or those who may be able to help you become more like these three wise camels and their three wise men who come to Jesus and worship a king to rule over them, a priest to bring them safely before God, and a saviour to rescue them from their sin. Let's pray. Father, however we unwrap your gift, Father, it's the same. However we unwrap it, whether we're old or young, whether, Father, we're smart or not so smart or whatever, it doesn't matter. However we unwrap it, it's the same. You come as a king, as Lord, as a high priest, as a saviour and a redeemer, because we need all those things. I pray, Father, as we go today, Father, but as we lead up to Christmas, Father, that your gift, who you are, Lord Jesus, will not get lost amongst all the other stuff. Lord Jesus, you are better than all that other stuff. You are bigger than all that other stuff. And may that be our testimony. Father, when we're finished with this season, may we know, Lord Jesus, that you are bigger than all of those things. And Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you are in the midst of all things, all those things. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.